Is it on now? All right. Good morning. Good to see everybody. We're right smack in the middle of summer, aren't we? Summer one, just in case you wanted to know, summer one, let's see, the final exam is Tuesday, final exams. Summer two begins, isn't that right, Mr. Stoner? Summer two begins the very next day. And so you get a few hours break to think about you know how it all went and you get your retool for the next go around. And this is the time of the year that I get to see all the new graduates from all the different high schools in the county. They're coming in, smiling faces. Not really. Some of them are happy. Some are sad. Some are just there because mom and dad said, you got to get up there to PJC right now and get enrolled, boy. I'm tired of seeing you sitting on the couch. You know, some of those conversations are going on, but it's good. It's good. And we're gearing up for fall, of course, which is the biggie. But it's all good. I want to talk to us this morning about thinking. All right, about our thinking, the quality of our thinking. I didn't have time to do any PowerPoints. It's all going to be old-fashioned, just in your Bibles, right? You got your Bibles with you? Some of you have, it's not a real Bible when you pull it up on your phone, but we'll take it if that's what you got to do. But I want to ask you a question, though. What's the first thing? Think of a parent. Think of a teacher. Carrie has said these words many times, I'm sure. We use Carrie as our teacher example over here. But first thing that comes out of a parent's mouth or a teacher's mouth when they see the child, just as my mom would say, acting a fool or something. Is what were you thinking? You know, what were you thinking? And often the child will look up, I don't know, you know. And that's right, you weren't thinking. Truth is, we have hundreds of thoughts that go through our minds every day. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thoughts going through our minds every day. Our brains are always active. And we really, as Christians, we need to think about our thinking. All right, we need to guard our thoughts. About what kind of thoughts are we allowing to pass through our minds? What kind of thoughts are we allowing to take root in our minds? We need to realize that we have what we would call a thought life. Okay, we have an internal dialogue that is ongoing from the time you wake up in the morning and set your foot on the floor to the time you go to sleep. We have this internal dialogue going on all the time. All right. And it's sometimes it's like a script that we play, all right, that goes on all the time. And some of our thought life is healthy and good. Some of our thought life could be readjusted as we go along. And that's part of what the Christian life is about and what discipleship is about. And that's part of the discipline of the, we talk about sometimes the disciplines of the faith, okay? And guarding our thought life is one of the disciplines of the faith. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Beware of what you set your mind on, for that you will surely become." He also said, "Sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny." So thoughts are very important. Just for emphasis, using the King James Version, Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So we're all products of our thoughts to a great degree. Have we stopped to think about how spiritual battles are fought in the mind? Okay, that's a part of what we're going to talk about today. The spiritual battles we face are ultimately won and lost in our minds. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Going to be heavy on some scriptures today, okay? The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1 says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming." When you're with your minds that are alert and sober. Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Okay. Paul also commanded in Romans 12, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." There's a renewing of the mind that happens as a Christ follower. And so, you know, we all know people, and we've been in this situation ourselves. We know people who have been taken captive, speaking of Paul's admonition to us in Romans 12, of 2 Corinthians 10, of taking every thought captive. But we know people who have been taken captive and are being held in a prison of sin because their minds have been darkened by the thoughts and by the philosophies of this world and of this culture. And they're the only possibility of being set free is by first setting our minds on the mind of God for human beings, which is revealed in His Word. And so my aim today is to encourage us and to challenge us to keep our minds focused on what is pure and what is true. And you can turn over to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to spend a little time there. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, where Paul was writing from prison, no less, and he gives the church at Philippi instructions. These are commands. I mean, the apostles can give us commands just like Jesus did. These are commands we can from the Holy Spirit through Paul. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And something will come as a result of this," he says. And the God of peace will be with you." When we guard our minds and we fill our minds with God's things, the God of peace will be with you, he says in Philippians 4. And so let's look at some of these a little bit more closely. Paul says, first of all, whatever is true, to think about whatever is true. And I think sometimes to get a better appreciation of what Paul is saying here, we need to think about for a minute what is the opposite, all right, and how that relates to us. So he says, what is the opposite of whatever is true? Of course, that of course would be that which is false and deceitful. We're not to be thinking and entertaining thoughts that are false and deceitful. We got any deceitful thoughts going on in our world today? How about 90% of what's on the internet? But when we allow thoughts to dwell in our heads that are false and deceitful, it's just like we're building our lives on the sand. Remember the parable Jesus told about two different ways of building your life? You know? When you build your life on the sand, there's a song in that, right? There's a Vacation Bible School song in that, right? The rains came down and the floods came up. Did we sing this? The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up and the foolish man's house went crash, right? So when we build our lives on falsehood and deceitfulness, deceitful philosophies of this world, our lives will come to ruin. Second, we think about whatever is noble. I'm not going to go into great detail on each one of these, but whatever is noble, that's in contrast to things that are dishonorable or unworthy. And he says, think about whatever is right as opposed to things that are wrong or unjust. And then whatever is pure as opposed to that which is impure, unholy, or dirty. Whatever is lovely, as opposed to things that are unlovely or ugly. And then Paul tells us to ponder, think about whatever is admirable. The definition of admirable is arousing or deserving respect and approval. Well, the opposite of that would be thinking about things that are scandalous or of no value at all.
All right.
There's no such thing as neutral spiritual territory. You understand that, what I'm saying there? There's no such thing as neutral spiritual territory. All right? Things are either of God or they're not of God. There's so much wonderful that is of God to think about. And that's what we need to set our minds on. So we need to think about whatever is excellent, he says, in contrast to things that are inferior or second rate. Whatever is praiseworthy rather than things that are shameful or punishable. And so that's a pretty all-encompassing list. And it's a good list to keep in mind as we examine our thoughts and as we seek to improve our thought life and improve the internal dialogue that we all engage in during each day that we live. Is the thought true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Does it lift us up or does it tear us down? Does it lift other people up or does it tear other people down? If it doesn't pass this test, then it needs to be eliminated. Do you remember the character Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, in the movie The Terminator? You remember what he said as he eliminated the other Terminator? He says, "You are eliminated. You're terminated. You are terminated." Well, that's what we need to say to a few of our thoughts. You are terminated. All right? Now, what kinds of thoughts are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy? How do we build a habit of these kinds of thoughts? Well, we have to go to the source of all that is good. Okay, the source of all that is good. God has shared with us His mind and His thoughts in terms of His will to live as human beings on this earth. And that, of course, would be His Word. And we know that Jesus Christ is the very embodiment of His Word. And so everything that we do and think is matched up, should be compared to Him. And we know we all fall short, don't we? We all fall short. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us in our following Him, to make it more and more pure and more and more in line with Him. So the very best thing we can do is fill our minds with God's words, God's truths, God's principles, God's promises, and then our thoughts, the philosophies that we live our lives by, the priorities that we live our lives by will flow from the throne of God. Psalm 19 says, verse 7 through 11, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, and keeping them is great reward." I love the descriptions here in this psalm. God's word is good. It's perfect. It's trustworthy. It's right. It's radiant. I love that word, don't you? Radiant. Pure, righteous, precious. So valuable that it's priceless. You can't put a price on it. Is there anything better than God's Word than we can put in our minds? And the only way to get God's Word into our minds and hearts is to put forth effort to listen, to read, to study, to meditate on God's Word, and to even, as I try to do as much as possible, to pray God's Word. To pray God's Word. When I read something Jesus said, it's not just one-dimensional on a page, you know, but to pray what He said. Lord, You said You are the light of the world. Lord, I want to walk in Your light today. So turn the Word of God into prayer that you offer up to God on your behalf, and that the Holy Spirit move in that powerful truth. There's nothing more powerful than in our lives that can change us, transform us, and keep us where God wants us. But at various times in our lives, we do all the above. Sometimes we read large portions of Scripture in one sitting. I recommend that. Sometimes we study in detail smaller portions of Scripture. That's what Sunday school's about. That's why I think Sunday school's so important. Sometimes we meditate more deeply on a certain passage and allow it to really soak into our hearts and lives. Sometimes it's helpful even to take a powerful verse of Scripture and to keep that in your head all day long, coming back to it again and again during the day, that one Scripture that you're meditating on that day, and even praying that Scripture over and over again as you have breaks during your day to keep your life focused, keep your life on track, keep from getting derailed. We learn in Psalm 19 that the psalm we just went over, that knowing God's Word is not just a good idea, it's a matter of spiritual survival. Okay? And without it, there is no spiritual growth. There's nor any or any kind of reward that we could expect. But when we treasure God's Word and live according to it, then there's a great reward. And so to win the battle of the mind, we got to put good things in our minds. And God's Word is the very best thing that we can put into our minds. And the second suggestion I have for us is to not allow bad thoughts to get a foothold in our minds. To work against allowing bad thoughts to get a foothold in our minds. I say this because I know it's impossible. We're human. Okay? No, it's impossible to keep all bad thoughts from ever entering to our minds. But we don't have to allow them to stay there, do we? We don't have to allow them to stay there. The old saying is true. You can't keep a bird from flying around over your head, but you can keep it from doing what? Building a nest in your hair. Right? So the same is true of thoughts. Right? We're going to have bad thoughts come through our minds at times. That's going to happen. Things that are opposite of what God says is good. Well, it's our job to kick them out. It's like being at a picnic and the flies come, you know, and you got to shoo the flies away. Okay? Shoo, get out of here. Get out. You're not welcome, fly. Get away. Well, there are some thoughts that come into our mind that we need to do the same thing. Shoo, get out of here. Get on out of here. You're not welcome. All right? And so it really is that simple in many cases. And so how do we overcome bad thoughts and bring them to an end? An effective way to do it is by fighting them with the truth of Scripture. Especially if we have a thought that's really pesky and it doesn't want to let go, all right, wants to take root. We got to fight them with the truth of Scripture. Paul instructs us in Ephesians 6, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we also need to remember that Jesus used the Word of God when he fought the temptations of Satan. You remember how Jesus fought Satan's attacks when Satan brought temptations to him? He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. All right? And so Jesus fought Satan with the Word of God. And how could we think that we could ever be victorious without it? I mean, Jesus was the Son of God, and he used the Word of God. So how could we think we could ever do otherwise and rely on our own strength or our own thinking? We can't. So how do you fight bad thoughts with Scripture? Well, if you're struggling with a thought that's impure, then learn a Scripture that values purity and use that Scripture, meditate on that Scripture that values purity. For example, I remember as a young man, when the kids were very little, I fought the age-old man's battle. The battle that our brother Barry Graham has spoken of recently a couple times. Sometimes it seemed like Satan just focused all of his attacks on me back then, and I was under his bullseye. I remember how I struggled with lustful thoughts and temptations that come over me. It felt like wave upon wave upon wave. And we know that, I mean, Satan's desire is to break up the family. He always has. He always wants to break people up, you know. And so it was a struggle. I remember even during that time I was a young advisor at PJC, and I think I've told this story a few years ago, but I had several occasions. I could probably count them on one hand. I could, but I had several occasions that it would surprise me. I mean, because my job is to counsel and help people get into school. Well, I would there would be occasions where a young lady who was fresh from a divorce. And so her husband had cheated on her, and she's full of hurt and pain, and she's trying to get back at him. And she's full, her heart's not full of God at the moment, and she's making it known that she's available. You know, and I've got my ring on here. I'm like, can't you see this? You know, I didn't chastise anybody, but I would always back up and act like I didn't even know what they were saying, as they, in so many words, make themselves know that they're available. I'm like, you know, just act stupid, and you know, I don't know what even know what you're talking about. All right, I was always surprised. And I had a strategy God told me to do. During that time, I would go home and I would tell Becky about the conversation. I'd tell Becky about the conversation because bringing things into the light keeps Satan from doing things in the darkness. You see what I mean? Bringing things into the light keeps Satan from doing things into the darkness. And I'm here to proclaim that it's by God's grace and by God's strength and His leadership that I resisted those kinds of attacks from Satan. I told Satan many times during that time. The battle went on for several years until Satan finally got the picture that I wasn't going to follow. I wasn't going to take the bait. Every time you attack me with this temptation, I'm going to take my Bible and open it, and I'm going to read God's word to you. So every time you want to hear the pure and lovely word of God, devil, just go ahead and bring that attack on me, and I'll read it to you. I'll read you the Word of God. You know. So I did that many, many times. It might be late in the night. I'm going to read the Word of God to you, devil. Just sit here and listen to it. And I'd read it and encourage myself with the Word of God. And eventually the attacks subsided. I also started keeping a New Testament on my desk at work, so that every student, man and woman, would know that they were dealing with a Christian. And my Bible at work often became a point of discussion between myself and students. Usually students, I found, were very happy to know that a Christian is giving them guidance. But if your bad thought is something that's untrue, that's causing you to fear, then learn a truthful promise of God that you can meditate on and push that bad thought away. If it's about hatred, if the bad thought is hatred and revenge, then focus on God's commands to love your enemy. Or focus on scripture that reminds you of how much God has forgiven you. There's an anecdote for everything that Satan would throw at us. There's a truth. There's God, His presence. And he comes with His word. You know, it's not all one-dimensional. It's not just meditating on Scripture in some dry way, but a personal worship time, giving your heart to God in whatever way that it maybe it's going out in nature and seeing the trees and hearing the birds and sitting in the grass and then meditating on the goodness of God in Jesus, in worshiping, singing a song or a hymn to Him, and reminding you of the truths that are solid in following God and being a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, so it may be different for all of us how we do these things. But we have to combat them. We can't allow bad thoughts to sit and give and dig roots into our minds. Because then they begin to conquer us. And so there is truth in God's word to help us. And I know that it might be tempting to think that this is all too simplistic. All right, but might I say that one of Satan's most crafty attacks is that of sophistication. Sophistication. The temptation that God's word and this following Jesus stuff, it's just all too simplistic. It's just all too simple. Just real, you know, common people, uneducated people do that kind of thing. You know, and that's what a lot of the world thinks now. But it's not. The most powerful thing we can do is to follow God in His Word, follow Jesus, meditate on what Jesus has said and done, stir it up into our hearts over and over again. It's not simplistic. It's powerful. It's transcendent, is what it is. There's been so many Christians I know, several, that have shipwrecked their faith because of allowing such thoughts to take root in their lives. This is all just too simple, simple-minded, you know. Keep in mind that this is the method the psalmist proposed in Psalm 119. David knew what it was to allow thoughts to enter in that shouldn't be there and to fall because of it. And he repented and he repented, and he was a great follower of God in response to it. He says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Lastly, I think it's important that we talk for a moment about how to reduce the evil that enters our minds. Think about it. If you're trying to eat in a more healthy way, then we guard what we eat. We don't take into our body, processed food or sweets or high salt content food, that kind of thing. But in the same way, when we're trying to have a healthier mind, we've got to try to not take into our minds these things that the world is just, they're just rivers of unhealthy thoughts that are constant, that we can jump into. They're literally rivers of unhealthy thinking, twisted and unjust and impure and whatever word you want to put to it, thinking that we can. There's rivers are out there. We can jump into them. That's what the mass media has a lot of this stuff: TV, movies, music, books, magazines, the internet. There's a lot of good stuff on mass media, but we all know there's a lot of junk out there, a lot of junk. We also know that many of the people that work in various aspects of mass media, no matter what they do, many of the people don't know God. What are they going to put out? They're going to put out stuff that reflects their philosophy on life. And we've got to be wary of these things. All right? That's one thing to tell a story, and we know that stories have to have a battle between good and evil, and that all stories have that, of imperfect characters and such. But we know, in our heart of hearts, we know when we're mentally digesting a philosophy that has the potential of pulling us away from Christ in some way. We know when we're doing that. Okay? We're not stupid. We know when we're doing that. The Holy Spirit lets us know that. And so my admonition to you is to guard that. That your heart is a sacred place. Guard that. When we know that this part of this storyline or part of this, the way they're depicting the story, this is entering into very unholy territory, and that there's a philosophy here that's trying to pull me in, okay? Then we have to guard our minds, and we have to say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not jumping in that river. I'm gonna go upstream. I'm gonna get away from this. So we gotta be careful what we allow in our minds in terms of the mass media. But because whatever is in our minds has an influence on us. Anyone who says that they can fill their minds with things that are essentially just downright evil without being affected by it, time and time again, they're just fooling themselves. I guarantee you, when I look back at my own backslidden time in my early 20s, it started because I quit reading the Bible, I quit praying, what did I replace it with? I began to replace it with reading books that were contrary and digesting philosophies that were contrary to the gospel and the message of Christ at all, completely. And then you begin to fill your minds with these vain philosophies, and before you know it, your faith is waning, and before you know it, you're walking away from Christ altogether. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens gradually. I've experienced it. I never want to go to that place again. And my job, I feel like, as a Christian, is to help others to not go to that place. Help other Christians. Solomon asked the rhetorical question, can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Of course he can't. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? We can't do that. We can't play with fire without being burned. Jesus said in Matthew 12, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Jesus, the master psychologist. But he's so much more. So much more than the master psychologist. He's the Son of God who came to save us from sin. Just to give us a new life, a new way of living, a new way of being, a new way of thinking, a new way of new priorities, a new perspective on life. Life is not about just the here and now, what I can touch and feel. It's grander, it's bigger, it's more transcendent than all of that. He wants to put us on a path toward all of that, toward Himself. And He sent the Holy Spirit so that our hearts and our affections can be changed toward His own heart, His own nature. And so, as I wrap it up, we need to remember the same question we ask our children and apply it to our lives. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? And I pray that we'll all fill our minds with God's goodness and every good thing. One Christian thinker put it this way, and I'll close with this quote. Thoughts form the thermostat which regulates what we accomplish in life. My body responds and reacts to the input from my mind. If I feed it with doubt, worry, and discouragement, that is precisely the kind of day I will experience. If I adjust my thermostat forward to the thoughts filled with vision, hope, and victory, I can count on that kind of day. You and I become what we think about. Happiness, like winning, is a matter of right thinking, not intelligence, age, or position. Our performance is directly related to the thoughts we deposit in the memory bank. And we can only draw out from the memory bank what we deposit. I think that's a good way to end this sermon. All right, amen. All right, thank you so much for being here and for listening. If anyone here has a need, needs the prayers of this church, this is the time for that. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world, for the sins of our own lives, that our lives could be made new, that we could be baptized into Christ, united with Him in baptism, clothed with Him and clothed with His goodness and all of His presence, His righteousness, and filled with the Holy Spirit. This is your opportunity as we stand and sing, brother.